We're in Joshua chapter 3, and we'd like to have
Judges
chapter 3.
I tell somebody's already sleeping.
Tell you, boy. Judges chapter 3, we'd like someone to read from verse 12 down to verse 30. Some young man, if you can read Judges chapter 3, verse 12 to verse 30. Thank you.
Judges chapter 3 and verse 12. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He gathered to himself the Ammonites and the Amalekites, and went and defeated Israel. And they took possession of the city of Palms. And when the people of Israel severed Eglon the king, served Eglon the king of Moab 18 years. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up for them a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjaminite, a left-handed man. The people of Israel sent tribute by him to Eglon the king of Moab. And Ehud made himself a sword with two edges, a cubit in length, and he bound it on his right thigh under his clothes. And he presented tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And when Ehud had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who carried the tribute. But he himself turned back at the idols near Gilgal and said, "I have a secret message for you, O king." And he commanded silence, and all his attendants went out from his presence. And Ehud came to him as he was sitting alone in the cool of his roof chamber. And Ehud said, "I have a message from God for you." And he arose from his seat. And Ehud reached with his left hand and took the sword from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the hilt also went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade. For he did not pull the sword out of his belly, and the dung came out. Then Ehud went out into the porch and closed the doors of the roof chamber behind him and locked them. When he had gone, the servants came. And when they saw that the doors of the roof chamber were locked, they thought, "Surely he is relieving himself in the closet of the cool chamber." And they waited till they were embarrassed. But when he still did not open the doors of the roof chamber, they took the key and opened them. And there lay their lord dead on the floor. Ehud collapsed while they delayed, and he passed beyond the idols and escaped to Syria. When he arrived, he sounded the trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim. Then the people of Israel went down with him from the hill country, and he was their leader. And he said to them, "Follow after me, for the Lord has given your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand." So they went down after him and seized the fords of Jordan against the Moabites and did not allow anyone to pass over. And they killed at that time about 10,000 of the Moabites, all strong, able-bodied men, not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years.
Good, thank you. So in our first readings, we took up what the world is and how the world impacts us, that external force and system that is in opposition to the mind of God, something that is outside of ourselves. And now we're going to deal with the flesh, not this physical body, but again, some principle that we'll talk about from the Word of God that has to do with ourselves, the thing that is in us, and how we need to be overcomers and understand the secret to overcoming the flesh. So what we're going to see in this portion is some similarities that we started with in the first reading. We'll see them also in the third and final readings if we're here tomorrow and the Lord hasn't come. And the reason why I mention that is that it's important for us to recognize, as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. The struggles of the people of God in the Old Testament are the same struggles in a sense that we go through. Some of the same methods that the enemy uses. The world that was seen in a real material way is connected to Cushan-Rishathaim, and that system that wants to operate independent of God is a system that still exists today that we have to be conscious of. The flesh that we're going to deal with here, seen in Eglon, king of Moab, is the same principle in ourselves that we're dealing with today. And then lastly, the same devil that was in the garden is the same devil, an adversary for us. So we have until about 2:45, and so we want to not necessarily go verse by verse, but group some of these thoughts together. We encourage the young men to ask questions, formulate questions if you're not sure, and certainly to participate. So we lead off by saying, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And there was a response from Jehovah, Lord here is Jehovah, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. We made mention that because we belong to the Lord Jesus, he is not just going to allow us to continue in sin. Romans chapter 6, should we continue in sin? God forbid. The grace of God has reached us. There's always going to be a response to our activity from God when it is in opposition to his thoughts. So they did this again, this evil, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab. And perhaps we can begin here with this question. He is a king. So we had a king of Mesopotamia, right? Type of the world, the two rivers that ran in. So we have another king, right? And this is not God the king. This is King Eglon, king of Moab. Does anyone know what Moab represents? And maybe perhaps where we see Moab in another place in the scriptures that could help us.
I'm making sure nobody's sleeping, so I'm bringing all of the fresh air.
Doesn't Moab represent the flesh?
We're good. Say that nice and loud.
Moab represents the flesh.
Okay. Will someone else help us? Give us another verse or an account in the scriptures where we encounter this place, Moab. And someone else might be able to define, when we say the flesh, what does that really mean?
There is no wrong answer. Yet.
Genesis 19, verse 35. It's Lot's daughter talking to Naaman. It says, they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and she perceived not when she laid down, nor when she arose. Thus were born the daughters of Lot, with child by their father, and the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. So I think you can see clearly that they started in a pretty awful way as well.
Did you read the next verse too?
And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Benoni, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day.